Hello, Todd Furman. How are you?
I'm about a 15-to-1 shot to get engaged in the next 2 to 3 years, so it may be a safe bet taking no against the field, and I'm sure my mom would be more than happy to book that action for you, big dog.
Todd Furman from Don Best Sports and Todd's take. That's great. All right. Well, I'm not going to take it. You know yourself better than I do. The Heat made a series of it last night. There was all kinds of money dumped on the Heat last night. They went from a 2-point dog to a 1-point favorite. But it wasn't a lot of sharp money, was it, Todd? What moved that line yesterday? Everybody and their uncle was on the Heat?
A combination of things, actually. There was some sharp money that came in on the Heat amid speculation about Tony Parker's status, but that came in on Miami +2. So a lot of the professionals pretty much stopped betting Miami at +1 or taking them on the money line at that price. At that point, it was the general public that wanted to use the zigzag theory, so to speak, and the strong trend that Miami had been 11-0 against the number. They're 11 games following a straight-up loss. The trend held true again last night, moving them to 12-0. And more impressively, the series price, the Spurs were about a 130 favorite with a 2-1 series lead. Right now, you're looking at Miami -270 to win their next NBA championship. And we've seen Miami already go out to a 1.5-point favorite for game five. Amazing how quickly 48 minutes of basketball changes things.
And is that the impression that people will have from that? Is that why it does that? Because, like you said, well, you said that they would be favorites for all three games in San Antonio, and they were the first two, but they got switched around by the money in the second game. And like you already said, now that's changed a lot. But are we to think that San Antonio is just going to roll over and play dead in Game Five? I mean, they know how important Game Five is, and.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd go that far. I think this is as much bettors really concerned about Tony Parker, and you watch the Spurs for stretches yesterday. Tim Duncan spent an inordinate amount of time on the bench from the end of the first quarter into the middle of the second quarter. The Spurs looked stagnant, and I think what we've seen is it's taken Herculean-type efforts. Parker in the fourth quarter in Game 1, the combination of Neal and Green in Game 3 for the Spurs to try and get through. For the first time, maybe this entire postseason, we saw the big three of Miami really assert themselves at both the offensive and defensive end and how dynamic this Heat team is. Now playing with a chip on their shoulder, the series price speaks volumes about what the books anticipate, but it would definitely be a dynamic changer if the Spurs found a way to go up 3-2 and only had to take one of those two games in Miami to try and win the NBA title.
Yeah, do you think Pop's doing that on purpose when he sees his team down? He's been known to put his guys on the bench for long stretches to maybe save them for another day.
I mean, it's been real tough to figure out exactly who has the coaching advantage in this series in terms of what talent arrives to the occasion. Miami's disappointing effort in Game 3 left me scratching my head. It was a combination of not getting to the rim, not LeBron James' first time in his NBA Finals career that he didn't have one foul shot. It's really been tough to figure out. At the same time, 3 of these 4 games have not been that competitive. And I know I'm a hockey homer to begin with, but not that entertaining to watch either.
No, it isn't. And I only talk about it because it is in the finals. But speaking of hockey, that is fun to watch. And, you know, you almost get the sense, Todd, that this is going to be may not get triple overtime, but this series is going to be like this for it just reeks of 7 games, does it not?
The level of intensity is tremendous, but I know from past discussions I've had with you, it can be real tough for teams that lose a multiple overtime game to kind of wipe themselves up off the deck and put the pieces back together. The Blackhawks needing double overtime to dispose of the Kings in 5 games, and then finding a way to battle back, not only to win this game in triple overtime, but facing a 3-1 deficit in the third period against that vaunted Boston defense. The Blackhawks have to be playing with a ton of confidence, and I think it'll be real interesting to see how Boston comes out right from the opening puck drop for Game 2. If the Blackhawks can get a lead early and play with house money, it'll get real dangerous for Boston. At the same time, I think those first 10 to 15 minutes will be telling for how the Bruins will be able to handle it. The big injury, though, to Nathan Horton, he was leading the team in plus-minus coming into the series at +21. I don't think his absence with the upper body injury will get enough play in the national media.
Well, he was out skating with his team this afternoon, and apparently, I think all of us assumed that it was he's had some concussion problems, and when they've called it an upper body injury, everybody goes, well, he must have just got nailed in the head again. But found out today that he has a constant problem with separating his shoulder. So I'm assuming they popped it back in, and he wasn't able to come back from that game. But some pain medication and some things probably will have him back. It's probably a blessing in disguise too, Todd, that they get 2 days off between this one, and it was the first game of the series. If you know, history has told me if you get a double overtime loss in game 5 or 6, you don't recover. No. Game 1 may be a different story. I mean, a lot of pucks bouncing off of legs and stuff like that going in. But, you know, Boston has to take a little bit of satisfaction out of putting a 3 past Corey Crawford, but you're right, man. They don't give up third period leads. As a matter of fact, they hadn't lost a game with after first period leads. So, but I do think that their dominant line did what they had to do against Chicago, and I don't see that stopping.
No, and I think it'll be real interesting to see. I mean, we knew coming into this series the Blackhawks had more firepower up front, but the lasting impression was the Bruins found a way to shut down the Penguins' star power. And they could do the exact same to the Blackhawks. The big difference, and it became readily apparent, the Hawks just have a lot more grit. The Penguins seem to kind of turtle, mm-hmm. and you hate to use that adjective to describe an NHL team at this late a juncture in the season, but they didn't find a way to meet the Bruins' level of intensity, where the Blackhawks rose to the occasion, whether it was on the strength of the home crowd at the United Center, or feeling like, hey, we're the more talented team, we're going to try and find a way. I think to a certain extent, they realize the only way to beat Tuukka Rask is to get bodies in front and throw the pucks on net. I know you preach long and hard. There's no such thing as a bad shot, especially in overtime, and the mm-hmm. Blackhawks showed that with that double deflection game winner.
Boy, they sure did. And, you know, it makes me want to go out and take the Lightning players and wring their necks, to be honest with you, because they refused to shoot the puck. And it just, you never know when pucks can go off skates and hips and shin bones and everything else. It's just get it on net and go from there. And we saw a prime example of that the other night. But I think getting 2 days off is probably the best thing that could happen. You want to really get back to going at it again. And, you know, Boston showed that they can get a lead. They just didn't show that they could hold it against Chicago. So what did it do to the money now as far as the series price and the game price?
A series price didn't move a ton. It moved pretty much what you'd expect. The Blackhawks having a 1-0 series lead. They were about $1.40 favorite. They're now a $2.35 favorite, meaning you'd have to put up $2.35 to make a dollar coming back if you thought the Blackhawks were going to win the Stanley Cup. The game line has actually stayed pretty much the exact same. The Hawks a $1.50 favorite. The Bruins take back +130. The over-under on the game set at 5 with heavy juice to the under. And you look at these two team totals, if you think Boston finds a way to get 3 goals again, a pretty healthy price there at +160. But I have a feeling this game will be much more defensive-oriented, neither team wanting to take big chances. And I think you'll see both of them commit in front of their own net, knowing how many of those bouncing pucks found a way to get through the blue paint into the back of the net. I think we're more inclined to see a 2-1, maybe a 3-1 type game in game 2.
All right, when we come back, we'll get with Todd. We'll get to the Las Vegas put out some game of the years this year, which are line games in college football and certain ones that they think the public will get on. And so we'll talk about which ones have moved right off the bat, who the favorites, who the sharp betting favorites are right off the bat as well, because they line up around 10 deep, don't they, Todd, before when the betting windows open for the Golden Nugget, when they put those lines out?
The betting handle was tremendous, at least for the first few hours. But from talking to Tony Miller, the head of the Golden Nugget Sportsbook, he said either their numbers were a lot better than they've been in years past, or bettors are playing it a little tighter to the vest. He said he wasn't as happy with the 3-day total, but definitely was pretty optimistic about the numbers that they put up there. So their process is getting much tighter. And as we know, sometimes if a bookmaker's too good at his job, he won't get a bet that he needs.
Huh, there you go. All right, we'll come back and discuss that as well. There's also some international soccer coming up as well. We'll touch on that briefly with Todd Furman from DonBestSports.com and ToddsTake.com, which is an ever-improving blog, by the way. It's got very, very nice stuff on it.
Hey, Steve, we made sure we got the WDAE logo up there. We couldn't take the abuse from the radio segment at 2 weeks ago.
I saw that. Thank you very much. We'll take a short time out, but we'll be right back.